Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt is convening a roundtable of about 20 mental health experts and interest groups in Melbourne today to discuss suicide prevention. The government committed more than $730 million to mental health in the April budget, and the Productivity Commission's also investigating what impact it has on society and the economy, but that report is not due until May next year. Professor Patrick McGorry is the Executive Director of Origin, the National Centre of Excellence in Youth Mental Health. He'll be at the meeting and he joined me earlier. Patrick McGorry, what should come from today's roundtable?
Well, it's very heartening that the Prime Minister and the Health Minister, Greg Hunt, have made such a strong public commitment, particularly to youth mental health and a zero suicide target. So I think a serious discussion about the next phase of reform in mental health care in Australia is what I'm hoping will come out of today's meeting.
Data shows that suicide rates aren't falling. They're plateauing in some areas, and in some areas the rate's rising. What's Australia doing wrong?
It's a very good question. I don't think we really know the answer to that totally. Suicide is caused by a complex mix of factors, but what we're not doing is responding with a proactive and expert healthcare system that can really help people who are obviously right on the edge and are reaching out for help. Many, many of these people are being turned away still.
In Indigenous communities, it's the picture's far worse. I think 79 people have taken their lives so far this year, including about 20 yes. children. Experts say going back about 60 years ago, suicide was quite rare in Indigenous communities, and now it's not. Why has that happened?
Well, it has to be due to social and economic factors, doesn't it? Cultural factors. Something has happened in Indigenous communities over that time, if that's true. I don't know that that is true. Suicide's not always measured accurately, but if that were true, it would really point to very substantial social changes driving this terrible epidemic, really, is what you have to call it.
There's been something like, I think, 34 statutory reviews into mental health since about 2006. Do public policy experts need more inquiries into this issue and ideas on how to tackle it, or are the answers there already?
Oh, well, look, I've been working in public mental health system for 35 years. I think we do know what to do, generally speaking, at least from a mental health care point of view. But I think the value of inquiries, of the gravitas of the Productivity Commission and the Victorian Royal Commission, which I'm personally centrally involved with, I think that they have have a number of advantages over the sort of inquiries that have happened so far. And that is that you can mobilise a public consensus behind what needs to be done. It'll become obvious to every level of society what actually needs to be done to address these problems. And I think they're solvable. I think we shouldn't think of it as a wicked problem. When you've got such serious levels of underinvestment and also dismantling of things that work, which has actually happened at state government level around Australia, it's inevitable you're going to see this serious problem. It's not just deaths. It's blighted lives. It's wasted potential. It's people languishing when they should be flourishing. And all of these things are possible if we had the same level of investment. We invest about 6 or 7% of the health budget, and the problem is about a 14 to 15% problem in terms of its share of the healthcare burden. So we're spending between a third and a half of what we need to spend, and we're not spending it in the right ways. We're spending it way too much at the bottom of the cliff, if I can put it that way.
How would you characterise the problem of mental health now nationally, and how important is it that issues like long-term unemployment, poverty and homelessness are addressed in crafting new approaches to tackling this?
Well, if we look at other non-communicable diseases like heart disease and cancer, where we have made major gains in the last two or three decades, what have they done? Well, they've addressed primary prevention, the things you just mentioned, the causes of the problem, the things that are probably making the issue worse. They're also investing in early intervention, early diagnosis. That's an absolute premium in illnesses like heart disease and cancer. And then they make sure once they've got people well, they keep them well. We do none of those things in mental health, really. And the easiest thing to do first, because obviously tackling poverty is a huge challenge, the easiest thing to do first is build accessible entry portals, which we have done to some extent, like with Headspace. That's been a success in getting people into the system at the first first base, but then we don't build on it. And if we get people well, we just wait for them to get sick again. We don't do that in cancer. We don't do that in heart disease. So if we want to really reduce mortality and improve outcomes, we've got to do all three of those things.
New Zealand's just adopted the policy of putting a frontline medical health worker in every GP clinic. If that works, should Australia consider adopting that approach?
Well, I'd say we've done that to some extent with better access and with Headspace and these sorts of primary care initiatives. The entry point is actually not bad for mild cases, the early stage, you could probably say. What we haven't done is what we call the missing middle. We have not looked after people with moderate to severe conditions who are too complex for that initial, in Headspace we call it the thin green line. Beyond that, there's very little for people until they are in life-threatening situations when they end up in emergency departments and half of them or more get turned away.
Like you say, Headspace can deal with mild cases, but chronic cases, there's a question mark over that. Most of these clinics are 9 to 5. There's not complete transparency over waiting lists for Headspace. Is that really the answer?
I think, what we put to both sides of politics in the federal election was something called Headspace Plus. I mean, I don't really care what we call it, but it's something to address the more complex cases who need a longer period of care, who need more expert care, and that has not been done yet. I'm really hoping the re-elected coalition government will look at that. They did actually commit to something in that space for adults through the adult community mental health hubs, which we're going to be discussing with Minister Hunt. So there is a slow recognition that this missing middle must be dealt with, and that will turn off the tap that's just flooding into emergency departments every single day, every single night, of people with more serious mental illnesses who have nowhere else to go.
Patrick McGorry, thanks for talking to AM.
Thanks very much, Sarah.
And Professor McGorry is the Executive Director of Origin, the National Centre of Excellence in Youth Mental Health.